he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. 92s are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind.
Well, greetings everybody, Pastor Buddy. We're joining you live tonight, right here on a Wednesday evening at 10 o'clock. We're glad to have you in here with us. We got a great program for you lined up. Part 3 of the strange mysteries that we've been talking about. Tonight, we're going to shift gears and go up instead of down. We've been under the sea. Tonight, we're going to look above our head, see what's up there, see where it's at. See what it means to you and me. So you just call a friend and neighbor and tell them that Pastor Buddy's on there. I'll be right back, right after John Boy rang within here.
When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around, hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right into the message tonight. Right after John brought us in here, probably perhaps the greatest song that John Cash ever sung. Most of his songs were folksy and down to the earth and talked about men and sorrow who always wore black. Well, tonight we're going to wear the white of angels. We're going to go up into heaven. We're going to explore the heavens and see what's coming around here, ladies and gentlemen, because we know that Yahweh is soon coming, and you ought to be ready to go. And the Bible said, think not that I'm going to delay my coming, because when you say that, that's when I'm going to come. So a lot of people today don't have their mind on Yahweh, and they could care less. But we're going to talk about something tonight that I believe is something that would interest you in respect to going to heaven. Now, have you ever thought about where God lives? Well, you say, well, of course, God lives in heaven. That's where I'm going one of these days when I die. Well, let me ask you a question here. Where did God live before he created the heavens and the earth? If he lives there and that's his home, that's always been his home in heaven, where did he live before he created the heavens and the earth? Well, how do we get to heaven? Well, we built a rocket ship like they did in the ancient days, and we built a tower whose top was to reach into heaven. And you know, that's basically how that man, carnal man, sees it. We're out there exploring, we're searching the heavens, and the many mysteries of the earth have nothing in comparison to the mysteries of heaven. So we'd like to go up tonight, and something else is going up. I don't know where you know this or not, but this is amazing. There is a connecting rod, if you will, from the earth to the sun. We just found this out. Now, there is a magnetic portal connecting Earth's magnetic field to the sun. And they have spacecraft now measuring the high-energy particles and fields flowing through the portal. Can you believe that? I didn't know that. I did know that there was magnetic connections or powers that we have. We know that through magnets. We know through north and south. But I didn't know that there was a portal, magnetic portal, connecting Earth's magnetic field to the sun. Like a giant cosmic chute. There's several of them here. Between Earth and the sun, and the magnetic portals open up every... Oh, you ain't gonna believe this. Every 8 minutes, these portals open up to connect our planet with our nearest star. Every 8 minutes. That just blowed me away. When I was researching this message, this is one of the bits of information that came from the heavens. Cosmic chutes. Magnetic portals. Every 8 minutes, they open up and connect. Now, is it like a giant squid? That is, its tentacles reaches back to Earth. What about the sun? Very little bit is known about it, except that it is a consuming fire. Well, isn't that what God is? Our God is a high-energy particle, or he is a consuming fire. That's what he told Moses. And this consuming fire is one of the things that creates great mysteries in the heavens. Lightning, thunder, rain, wind, storms, hail, omens, warnings, all this comes from the heavens. And we on earth are trained to look up. It's natural. Every day you go to work, you'll probably look up into the heavens and check around. You may not be conscious of it. If it's threatening weather, you will gauge the possibilities, or you'll listen to the weather report, and you'll go out, and sure enough, whatever's happening in the weather. But when the portals open, now here's something I want you to remember. And remember, they open up every 8 minutes, and eight is a new beginning, to these herky-jerky preachers don't even believe that there's an eight-day concept. I mean, they're so ignorant to fulfill the tradition and the ways that seem right. They will deny even nature itself and the marvelous mysteries that I'm revealing here to you tonight, which is when these portals open every 8 minutes, high-energy particles travel 93 million miles through the conduct during the brief opening. It opens up every 8 minutes. And this high-energy particle travels through the conduit during its brief opening. They've already measured these conduits, these spiraling energy particles. They're called a flux transfer event, or FTE. Such cosmic connections are... they not only exist, but let me tell you what happens here, ladies and gentlemen. They are possibly twice as common as anyone ever imagined, according to space scientists who attended the 208 Plasma Workshop in Huntsville, Alabama. 10 years ago, they go on to say, they were sure that nothing like this existed. But now the evidence is incontrovertible, said David Seaback, an astroapologist, a physicist at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. 10 years ago, they didn't even believe it existed. Now the evidence is undeniable. Researchers have long known that the Earth and the Sun had to be connected. Now, wait a minute here. Connected with these giant spirals of high-energy particle beams that travel 93 million miles in a flash every 8 minutes? Why 8 minutes? Why not 3 minutes? Why eight? Is these high-energy particles phasing every 8 minutes is your rhythm clock, your body clock, responding to these, and it would have to be subconscious, and it would basically be that way in your body, just like breathing. Breathing is not a chore until you become conscious of breathing, or having to breathe, or needing to breathe. That's when you take life for granted. But the things that the Father has set in motion in our own bodies reflect the eight-day creation as it phases in particles opening every 8 minutes through several connecting spirals of high-energy particles that travel the 93 million miles. So then the Earth and the Sun have to be connected, they conclude. For instance, particles from the Sun are constantly whisked away via the solar wind. And often they follow the magnetic field lines that connect the Sun's atmospheres with terra firma. The field lines allow particles to penetrate Earth's magnetic sphere and the magnetic bubble that surrounds our planet. Mystery, mystery, mystery. We used to think that the connection was permanent. I mean, they long suspected that there was a connection, and they used to think it was permanent, and the solar wind would trickle into the near-Earth environment anytime the wind was active. We were wrong. The connections are not steady at all, as they often brief dynamic force on an average of every 8 minutes to connect our planet with the star, the sun. No wonder, ladies and gentlemen, that man murmurs and complains and loves to change nature. You could no more change what Yahweh has set in motion in the mysteries of the heavens and these dynamic bursts of high energy particles that travel 93 million miles through the conduit briefly, bursting every 8 minutes. I'm amazed. Several speakers at the workshop outlined the formation of the flux transfer. One ideal is that on the side of Earth facing the sun, our magnetic field presses against the sun's magnetic fields. And every 8 minutes, the two fields briefly reconnect, forming a portal through which particles can flow. The portal takes the form of a magnetic cylinder about as wide, listen to this now, as Earth. I mean, here we got a magnetic cylinder as wide as the Earth. Now, how wide is the Earth? Well, we know it's 25,000 plus miles around it, and the diameter of it is over 7,000 miles. You're talking a giant rolling pin. Cybek said to the group meeting of these scientists that are now 100% sure that they exist, undeniable, through scientific satellite examination and measurements. They now know that this tube is a giant rolling pin that lies flat along the boundary between the Earth and Sun's magnetic fields. He noted that the rolling pin would have to be malleable so it could pierce through both magnetic fields while lying flat. What are they finding out here? These FTEs look like rubber pins, and they form as a little blob, rotor pins at the tip of the magnetosphere facing the sun. They can't decide which way they are going to slide around the Earth. So they grow there into bigger rotor pins, and then they take off and sort of spirally roll along an Earth's magnetosphere like you're pounding out dough with a giant rotor pin. Intricately connected Earth to the sun, where we're on an energy cycle pulsing every 8 minutes. Oh my. Now, why is it that the first Sabbath of our time schedule on the lunar calendar is the eighth day? Eighth being a new beginning. Why was it that Yahweh chose for holy assemblies to meet and to participate in energy burst, the worship of the King, the connection back with these spiraling tubes that we call the Holy Ghost, connected intricately back to our Father? Our God does not dwell in heaven. He doesn't dwell in buildings made by hands. He dwells through this current phasing in the heart and the soul and the body, the temple of man. you the question, where does he dwell? And everybody would say, well, he dwells in heaven. But the Bible said the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. Solomon found that out when he dedicated the first temple. And by the way, it was on the eighth day. It's amazing. Oh, I'm telling you. Yahweh has hid these great mysteries both on earth and in heaven. And I talked to you about the triangle, which is the shape of a pyramid. And on the mirrored surface of the water, an angled pyramid, three side, has a connection back to this electromagnetic energy that I described to you last night. And in order to measure this high energy particle called a flux transfer event, or an FTE, spacecraft must not only catch them forming, but also be on either end of the magnetic structure, either lengthwise or widthwise. In fact, the European Space Agency's fleet of four cluster spacecraft and NASA's five Themis probes have flown through and surrounded these cylinders because lately they've become of immense interest to our space program, measuring their dimensions and sensing the particles that shoot through. While these measurements have nailed down the width of an FTE, the length is still uncertain, though one measurement put it up to 5 radii. One Earth radius is about 4,000 miles, which equals 6,400 kilometers. Astrophysicist Jimmy Reeder of the University of New Hampshire used those measurements to develop a computer simulation of the portals. He found that the cylindrical portals tend to form above Earth's equator, and then in December, the flux transfer events would roll over the North Pole. Oh, my, the magnetic north. And did you know that the Bible says that Yahweh dwells in the north? I wonder why. Is our God a consuming fire? Is God a spirit? John 4:24, God is a spirit. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, but nowhere. He fills heaven and earth. How could the heavens and the earth, or both, for all these mysteries about, how could they contain him? We're talking about something that cannot be contained. It's marvelous. They roll over the North Pole in July. They roll over the South Pole also, on the opposite side of the world. He thinks that the events occur twice as often as previously thought, proposing two types of flux transfers, active and passive. Oh, negative and positive, yin and yang. The active sun with the magnetic currents of high energy particles, called a flux transfer event, comes through these tubes of high concentrated energy into the earth and charges the ley lines of the earth. And the ancients knew this long before our scientists, which are just now finding out. When the magnetic cylinders are active, they follow, or they allow particles to flow through rather easily, forming important conduits of energy for Earth's magnetosphere. And when passive, the cylinders have more resistance to transmitting the particles. The internal structure of a passive cylinder makes it harder for particles and magnetic fields to flow through. I wonder why. Isn't it related to the changes of the drawing or the magnetic or the ocean currents responding to the 8-day Sabbath mentioned in the Bible and the lunar functioning that affects not only Earth but the heavens around us? It's amazing that Yahweh has hung a transmitter, the moon, to conduct between the Earth and heaven in a cycle rhythm of 8. 8 is a number, like I said, of a new beginning. And these space scientists at the workshop still are trying to figure out why the portals form every 8 minutes and how the magnetic fields inside the cylinders twist and coil and transfer energy, even to moving the large bodies of water upon the earth, pulling through tidal examples of magnetic pull, with the moon being the center point, basically, of the connecting rod. And so then, not only is the bodies of water, the growing seasons, and isn't that what Yahweh said in Genesis, that these will be for signs and seasons and festivals? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly why that we have these dynamic bursts of energy as a giant rolling pin as it rolls these waves across the earth 93 million miles, charging the ley lines. And then with the 8-day movement of the moon into the 8-minute cycles of these phasings, which register to point a time and a season for the events that Yahweh has scheduled to this earth, if man would only come to his senses, if man would realize the reality of heaven. God does not necessarily dwell in heaven. The kingdom of heaven, according to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20, it is recorded that Yahweh dwells in us. And the kingdom cometh not with observation. When he said to look into the heavens, what was he talking about to look into? Looking into the deep recesses of your body, calculated through the timepiece, noting that in the time for you to actively pursue Yahweh, there's only a certain time that these portals open. Colossians 3 and 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Colossians 3 and 1. Where is heaven? It's where God lives and rules. Does God rule the heavens? Yes. Everything functioned, even the stars. Now, there's 3 levels of heaven. Paul went to the 3rd heaven. There is the 2nd heaven. And then there is the 1st heaven. Now, the 1st heaven is the immediate space that you see above you. The 2nd heaven would be the stars in the distant galaxies that you can see at night. It lights up, and we talked about the immense expanse of heaven. It is incredibly large and huge. There's no end to it. The 3rd heaven is where actually Paul where God dwells? Not necessarily. However, the body that was prepared for him in Acts chapter 1, he said, the same Yahweh that you've crucified is going to come back in like manner. And he went up, not on a cloud, but he went up in a cloud. Now remember last night when I talked to you about the surrounding power that this pilot experienced, a giant cloud invoked his plane and shot him through space at a unrealistic speed, according to man's flight plan, and he arrived in Miami much, much faster than he ever realized. Well, isn't it true that the cloud that followed the children of Israel, what was in that cloud? What was in the cloud in Matthew chapter 17? The great mysteries of heaven are being unfolded right before you or in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Look up. Yahweh, when I look up to you, up to heaven where you rule, Psalms 123, verse 1. It's a real place now, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. Matthew, the Messiah speaking. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, I wonder where that treasure trove is. It's in you. Christ is in you. That's the treasure that you want. The word Christ is the anointing power. God in you, the hope of glory. Where moths and rust can't destroy, they can't reach that place. But if they could go to heaven, way up into the third heaven, if they could get up there, where this is a physical realm, but we're going to see it transformed through these bursts of energy that we're going to talk about, where thieves can't break through and steal, they can kill you, they can beat you, they can deny you privileges, but they cannot unseal the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you, the hope of glory, which you're sealed till the day of redemption. Now that's designed especially for you. God designed a temple, and its heartbeat, its rhythm, its magnetic attraction. If I be lifted up, I will draw. What a magnetic occurrence for the love of, just like these giant spiraling tubes that they have found out are energy spirals with burst every 8 minutes on the lunar cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, which affects the way we live and the earth itself and the great bodies of water. Think about the tonnage that this great power would have to use when the tide goes out and the moon changes. Water will go the other way. It's just like being in a giant bathtub with a large hand rocking the cradle. Well, Yahweh is the rocker. And we're in the cradle and on the cradle, and we are connected intricately to Him through those things which are designed for us. And this is just one more of the mysteries that have been solved. They didn't know it 10 years ago. They had no idea. But then they began to form with measurements that there were giant tubes spinning with a vortex of energy inside these tubes connected intricately to the earth, affecting the very planet that you stand on. Listen to what the Messiah said in Matthew 25, verse 34. I love this one. Come, blessed of my Father, take your inheritance and the kingdom that was prepared for you since the creation of the world. Where does God live? We say He lives in heaven. Where did He live before there was a heaven? He is a spirit. really don't live anywhere in general, in principle, but he lives everywhere in reality. That's Yahweh's purpose. When the time is ripe, at the end, he's going to gather us all together, and wherever we are in heaven or on earth, to be with him in the anointing of his love and power forever. For here's what heaven looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. That's amazing. No eye has ever seen. No ear has ever heard. No mind has ever imagined what God has prepared for those that love him. I mean, it just, it's inconceivably beyond a reasonable doubt that Yahweh has laid up things for us in a place of our gathering. Now, you're going to be surprised where it's at. Is it going to be way up there in heaven? Are we going to go to heaven? Or is heaven coming to earth? Are you going to go out there where you see now? Or are you going to see new heavens? Are you going to see a new earth? Listen to this now. No sickness is in heaven. No sadness. No suffering. No sin. No death. In him you live. In him. Not up there somewhere. But in him. In you. You live and move and have your being. Now the question is, how should you live if you want to go to heaven? You have to invite heaven in you. You don't go to heaven. Heaven comes to you. Don't be distracted by all these temptations that are upon the earth to distract you and make you unaware of the times. The Bible said, redeem the time wisely. Live by the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, because you're going to reap what you sow as a result of it. And we're only visitors here. The Bible says that we're pilgrims and strangers. Well, you say, well, I thought we was going to inherit the earth. Well, we are. But not this one. We say, well, which one are we going to inherit? The new one. And I'll get that to you just in a minute. Your real home is in God, or in Christ, the kingdom of heaven within you. Now, you are free from evil, but evil is not free from you. Evil will attack you. Evil will criticize you. Evil will judge you. Evil will cause you to trip and fall. They'll dig pits for you. That's evil. They do this against your very soul. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. But don't be discouraged, because many are the tribulations of the righteous, because Yahweh will deliver you out of them all. That's why that you never give up. These troubles and sufferings are, after all, quite small. They're not going to last long. And this short time of distress will result in Yahweh's richest blessings upon you forever. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. So don't look at what we can see right now, or what we suffer right now, or what we feel like right now, or what we look like right now. But look for the joy of what's laid up for you, that the eye has not seen, and the ears have not heard, and the troubles will soon be over, but the joys will last forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16 through 18. Focus on this energy that I've been talking about, on the rhythmically cycled power blast. Think think of it, that you are connected through these giant tubes to the phase and the heartbeat of God, the Spirit itself. Every 8 minutes, a blast of conductive energy is running to and fro through your very body. Then when it comes for your body to rest, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things that are in the now. According to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, take no thought. Now, how do you get to heaven? The good news is that Yahweh is already making ready a place for you. Remember he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Listen to this. Revelation, I've got to close here in a minute. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. John caught up in the Spirit to see the events of the time when there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. Now, to prove that to you, let's go back to Isaiah 65, verse 17 through 25. Let me read. Look, Yahweh said, look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. And no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Praise Yahweh. Be glad and rejoice forever in my celebration. And look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. Now, we're going to find out which Jerusalem it is here. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and crying, to the same scripture I read you that Paul said, will be heard no more. No longer will babies die when they're only a few days old. No longer will adults die when they have lived a full life. No longer will be people considered old, regardless of their age. Only the cursed, only the ones who have turned their back and walked away from the Creator and denied Him. Only those who have conspired with the enemy for filthy lucre and are working for the cause of the evil one as opposed to the cause of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but remember, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was gone. Think about no more sea. I just can't get my thoughts wrapped around that one. There's no more sea. It's gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, not the old one, Sodom, 11th chapter of Revelations, coming down. From who? From Yahweh, out of heaven, like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, Yahweh's home is now among his people. Oh, hallelujah. He will live with them, and they will be his people. And Yahweh himself will be with them. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And all these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. So the things that appear now are not as they are, or not as they're going to be. For all things will be new. And then he said unto me, write this down. For what I tell you, you can trust it. It's true. And he said, it's finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life to all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings that are laid up for you, and I will be your God, and you will be my children. You are my bone and my flesh. But these cowards, these unbelievers, these fearful, these whoremongers, these corrupt, these murderers, these immorals who practice witchcraft and idol worship, and all liars. John 8:44 runs to my mind real quick. I don't know about you. Their fate is like in a fiery lake of burning sulfur at the second death. Revelation 21 means that the destruction will include both the heavens and the earth. Destruction to what? A transformation, a renewal, a cleansing. No sea. Whew. What a great, wonderful place. It is the third heaven coming down from heaven, out of heaven, to be prepared a place on a new earth, not the old earth. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and know where he walked. I'm sorry. It's the new Jerusalem on a new earth, not the old Jerusalem on an old earth. These people who are worshiping me in vain, he says it here, no longer. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains of suffering from me. Before they even call me, while they're still talking about their needs, it will be met and answered instantly. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lamb will eat hay like a cow, and the snakes will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed in my holy mountain. Yahweh said, I have spoken this. Again, ladies and gentlemen, a wonderful, wonderful mystery of heaven. Aren't you glad that you're in his camp? Aren't you glad that he's in you, the hope of glory? Aren't you glad that you've done those things which makes it permissible for that energy blast through those circular tubes connected as the mighty rushing wind, where it filled all the house, that's your house, where you're sitting? Oh my. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here tonight. My time is coming down, but I love you, and I appreciate you. There's going to be peace. The vision of Isaiah 65 shows the recreation of Eden and the original return of the place that's been hidden from us. The great mysteries of the connecting power, the energies, the rhythms, the eight-day cycle, the eight-minute cycle. If you was to just think about putting on a stethoscope and breathing to where you are conscious of your breathing, breathe hard and deep, suck in the oxygen into your lungs, inhale, and then exhale, and you'll hear yourself pronouncing. You'll hear yourself saying Jesus. You have to make a bad face. You have to just tear your face, disfigure your face altogether to say Jesus. It's not word. You hear yourself saying word. Some of these false preachers have run away with this wildfire and done these things which are unbecoming of the saints. But better for them not to know the way and know it, not go it. But when you do, it's a marvelous sound. That's that energy of the cycle rhythm of the breath buried. And every time you do, you declare the name above all names. For the wolves adopted under pretense, the artificials and the counterfeits in place of the mighty God, the everlasting Father. The first heaven is the sky where the clouds and the lightning are, where birds fly. The second heaven is the sky where the sun and the moon and the stars are. The third heaven is paradise where Yahweh is waiting to bring down your home to a new planet, to a new earth, from a new heaven, where there will be no evil. The first heaven is the atmosphere where birds fly, and the second heaven is the universe and the stars, and the third heaven is the place of God's throne. When Paul spoke of being called up to the third heaven, in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1, you'll understand what he's talking about. It is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can write me tonight. This is Pastor Buddy, and we're doing a series on the strange mysteries of heaven and earth. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284 in New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. You can call me tonight. I'm live around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's 626-2172. 423-626-2172. And we'll be back Friday night at 9:30 with the next program here on WWRB 3.185. We're sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary.
And I heard
1-877
the noise of thunder.
That's 1-877-289-7439 for Miracle 2, Vitamir. We need these items for you to patronize our sponsors to help us to stay on the air. Brother Paul for STEM Tech, 1-800-253-2748. And all of you that hold my hands up to minister and preach, I send you racial covenant greetings in the great name of the phasing of the energy of the eighth-day realization that we're his and he's in us. We don't have to go anywhere to have him. We got him right now. Yahweh bless you. See ya. And I love you.
The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground? When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices call and voices cry. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard to be to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be for the execution.